crime and drug trafficking. As you know, countries like Mexico and in Central America, Guatemala and Salvador, Honduras, are suffering from great crime waves and drug trafficking. And that, of course, has an impact on the United States as well. So we've been providing assistance to these countries to help them to combat crime. In the case of AID, that means investing in youth, providing them with alternatives to a life of crime. It means supporting communities and helping them put together action plans to fight crime at the community level. And that's obviously in the interest of Americans and the American taxpayer. We're also seeing in Latin America a much more and beyond this particular challenge with crime, we're seeing a region that is much more prosperous and much more democratic than it has been in the past and relative to other parts of the developing world. And what that means is we've been able to shift our resources, in some cases, out of Latin America and focus our resources in the countries most in need and most in crisis. So, for example, this year we're closing our office in Panama because of the great progress Panama has made over the last 20 years. Brazil, which has been a long-time recipient of U.S. assistance, is now a donor in its own right. So we're working with Brazil in third countries, for example, in Haiti and Honduras, on issues like food security. So it's a very important transition that we're seeing as countries are able to take responsibility for their own development, we're able to transition out.
So it sounds like in place of traditional development activities, you're focusing on these specific problems, like you mentioned, like crime, that aren't necessarily thought of as something that USAID does.
I think that's right. If you were to look at traditional development metrics, there are a lot of countries that we would not necessarily be in right now, Mexico being one of those, for example, Colombia being another. But in the case of Colombia, we've been working with the Colombian government for about a dozen years now, helping them combat drug trafficking, combat the guerrillas there. They've made tremendous advances. Colombia's really a great success story, as President Obama was able to highlight just a couple days ago during the Summit of the Americas. And Mexico, Mexico, of course, is facing challenges as well. But I think it's important to point out that the real contribution that USAID is making is not necessarily in terms of resources or financing. What we're trying to help countries do is put together models that they can then replicate and scale up. We recognize that our resources are relatively modest if you take into account the magnitude of the challenges these countries are facing. And ultimately, development in these countries and success against crime or poverty or what have you will depend on the kind of resources they can invest on their own.
Is it a matter of training or what is it? Do we send people there to work alongside their educators and police department? What form does this take?
Sure. I'll give you an example in the case of Mexico. We're working in three cities there, Monterrey, Tijuana, and Ciudad Juarez. And we've chosen three communities in each of those three cities where we'll be developing models to combat crime. And as I noted, for example, investing in at-risk youth or community policing models, things that have worked in the United States, things that have worked in other countries. And then, after implementing these programs, getting a sense of what works in Mexico, what can be revised, and then it'll be an opportunity for the Mexican government themselves to then scale up on a nationwide basis.
We're speaking with Mark Feirstein. He's the Assistant Administrator for Latin America and the Caribbean at USAID.
So talk to us a little bit about USAID's new emphasis, or perhaps renewed emphasis, on trilateral arrangements. What are they, and what are some of the most recent ones you've been doing?
One of the most exciting things that we're seeing in development is that countries that were previous recipients of foreign assistance from the United States and other countries are now becoming donors in their own right. And I think Brazil is really the best example of that. Brazil now has the sixth largest economy in the world. They have on their own been able to move millions and millions of people out of poverty in recent years based on some innovative programs that they've put together. But they're a leading expert in the world with regard to agriculture production. So we've been able to pair our expertise with that of Brazil in places like Mozambique and now expanding that work into Haiti. So, able to work with a country that was a former recipient of U.S. assistance and now combine their resources and their expertise with our resources and our expertise. And in Haiti, working with Haitian farmers to increase their agriculture production, help them access markets, and hopefully we'll see in places like Mozambique and Haiti and elsewhere achieving the same kind of successes that Brazil has in recent years.
It sounds to me like you're saying that the basic ingredients for overcoming these problems of drug abuse and so on is really economic prosperity, and then simply channeling that in the right direction.
That's a big piece of it. They really go together. I mean, I think you need security for economic development, but you also need economic development to promote security and reduce crime. We did a study recently with the government of El Salvador, and we assessed the leading obstacles to economic growth. And we concluded that by far, and it's a team of economists from the United States and from El Salvador, and they concluded after looking at every possible obstacle to economic growth, they concluded that violence and insecurity was by far the number one obstacle. So it's a recognition on our part that if we can't solve the crime problem, we're not going to be able to make advances on development and other issues.
As countries like Brazil become equal partners as opposed to recipients of your aid, is it challenging USAID to rethink the way you do things? I mean, we always hear from developing countries about the arrogance of the U.S. and other developed countries that they know best. So mm-hmm. Now that you're equal partners, are you actually rethinking some of the things that you do at USAID?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the point about partners, and this is something that President Obama has underscored frequently, you know, since he took office, that what we have with in the Americas is really equal partnerships. There's no junior partner and no senior partner. In all these cases, we are working very, very closely with national governments, local civil society. And one of the biggest changes we're trying to make now is to channel resources more directly through entities in these countries. There's been a tradition on our part and that of other agencies to hire U.S. contractors or U.S. NGOs. And while they do terrific work, they don't necessarily leave lasting capacity behind. And if our goal is to ultimately work ourselves out of business, which is really what it is, you know, we want to reach a point where we can get out of the countries where we're operating, and we want to be able to help them reach a point where they no longer need foreign assistance. In order to do that, we need to be able to strengthen local institutions. So to the extent possible in the coming years, we'll be funneling more resources through local entities as opposed to hiring U.S. contractors. And, you know, we're confident that'll bring, you know, longer lasting gains, and it'll also be more efficient and more cost effective for the American taxpayer.
And what is your measure for success of this strategy?
Well, I mean, it depends on the country. I mean, for example, if you look at Haiti, where we are very much involved in helping the country, you know, build back from the earthquake, you know, success there, means reducing incidence of certain diseases. It means increasing incomes for farmers. It means, reaching a point where municipal governments are able to provide services to their own people. In a country like El Salvador, success would mean a reduced crime rate that then lays the groundwork for more economic growth. But overall, you know, what we're looking, you know, as the United States government, I think what's in the interest of Americans is, you know, we want our neighbors to be more prosperous, more secure, as President Obama underscored during his recent trip to Colombia. To the extent that these countries are prosperous and grow and that they can expand their middle class, you know, those are markets for U.S. goods, for U.S. businesses, and that ultimately means creation of jobs in the United States.